You would take your Bibles and open them to the book of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter. I'd like to read verses 25 to the end of the chapter, and if you would stand with me as we read God's Word, I would appreciate that. Matthew chapter 6. Starting with verse 25. The words of Jesus. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray. Our Father, as we enter your word here, as we think through the words of Jesus, and then the words that you gave to your Apostle Paul, I pray, Father, that you would use those words in a fresh way to touch our hearts and our minds. Give us ears to hear. Father, some of us will struggle with what we hear. Some of us very badly need to hear what Jesus says. Father, we just invite you by your Spirit to minister to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to talk about a monster. Jesus mentions this monster in the passage I just read. In the translation that I read, the monster is called worry. Eventually we'll go over to Philippians where Paul writes about the same monster and it's translated anxiety. The reason is it's the same Greek word. Worry and anxiety, same thing. So that's the subject. And I want to present worry and anxiety to you as a monster. Something that is detrimental to you and to everyone around you, to me and to everyone around me. Many of you come here and you know what anxiety is about. You come here and you know what it's like to be controlled by worry. You know it's a monster. And you've struggled with it. And you can't seem to get around it, get over it, get through it. Hopefully some of the things that God says here through the lips of Jesus and the words of the Apostle Paul will help us. If you're not familiar with anxiety, let me tell you about it. It distracts us. In fact, the definition of anxiety or worry is a distracting care. We care about a lot of things, right? We have concerns. Worry and anxiety are a distracting care. It takes our eyes and our minds off of what we should be looking at, what we should be thinking about. It's a distracting thing. Anxiety weighs us down. If you look at that proverb that I have written there for you, You'll see Solomon says that anxiety weighs the heart. It weighs on the heart. And we know what that's like. Some of us carry that weight of anxiety and worry with us all the time. We know what that's like. It weighs us down. Anxiety can paralyze us. It can keep us from moving forward. Because anxiety and worry are all about the future. They're about things that haven't happened yet. And when we get caught up in anxiety and worry, it paralyzes us and we can't move forward. You know, if you go out in the woods and you see a bear, fear says, run. Anxiety says, I will never go out in the woods again because there will be a bear. It paralyzes us. It keeps us from doing things that we should be doing. It keeps us from enjoying things that we should be enjoying. But anxiety just stops us in our tracks and paralyzes us. Anxiety affects us physically. I've seen this personally. Anxiety can affect us physically. It can cause sickness. It can cause pain. People have anxiety attacks, and that can be very physical. Some of you know what that's like. Anxiety has the ability to do that, to even impact us physically. It's real. Anxiety becomes our default reaction. For many people, anxiety gets to the place where it's their immediate, automatic reaction to anything. They become anxious. They become worried. And anxiety even has its own language. And it's often a very negative language. It's often a very pessimistic language. It's always a language that describes the worst that could possibly happen, even though it's never happened. Often the language of anxiety starts with, what if? What if? What if? It has its own language. Anxiety can lead to hysteria when it takes control of us. We can do and say things and make decisions that are way out there. Anxiety creates control freaks. Because anxiety tells you you're not safe. Anxiety tells you there's no peace. And you decide, in order to protect myself and be safe and have peace, I have to take control of every detail of my life. And anxiety will do that to you. It'll make a control freak out of you. And then, the worst of all, what this monster, anxiety and worry, can do is it can become your God. It takes control of you. It directs your life. It becomes your master. And you become its servant. Anxiety can become your God. Worry can become your God. And here is the truth that's hard to hear. We create this monster. This monster is our creation. Anxiety and worry. God did not create anxiety. He's not the source of it. Culture does not create anxiety. It's your response to it. Situations don't cause anxiety. It's your choice in how you respond to the situation. Hear this, the devil does not create anxiety. The devil creates nothing. He is not a creator, there is only one creator. The devil is the destroyer. He does not create anxiety. We create this monster. And we need to understand that, or we won't be able to address it. And it's increasing sharply in our country. If you do any reading, anxiety levels are just increasing in our country. And people are trying to figure out why. One of the reasons is that there's this increase of information 24 hours a day. I mean, everywhere you turn, you hear the bad news as it's happening, right? And then you hear it over and over and over again, nonstop. And many people think that has really lent to the level of anxiety in our culture increasing. I mean, there was a time when bad things would happen and you wouldn't even hear about it for weeks. That's not true now. And many believe that has caused this increase. Something else that may have caused the increase in the level of anxiety in our culture is that we have accepted anxiety as a norm. We have decided to just stop, which is a weird thing. We don't like anxiety, and yet we've accepted it as a norm. And if you accept something, you're not going to seriously address it, right? If you just decide that's the way I am and that's the way I'll always be, it's just going to get worse and worse. And that may increase the level of anxiety, just the acceptance of it and seeing it as a norm. The third reason anxiety has increased, and this may be the key reason, is that there is an increased secularism in this whole area. And we have conversations about anxiety and worry without God in the picture at all. We have studies and we try to figure out how to help people with their anxiety and their worry, but we leave God out of the conversation. And that's dangerous. That's like trying to stop a tornado with a stick. You can't do it. You can't address anxiety, this monster, apart from God. You can't. But praise the Lord, you can address it with God. Let me ask you some theology questions. They're on your sheet. Let me just go through them. And as I ask the questions, I want you in your mind to answer these questions. Number one. Do you believe God is in control of the present and the future? It's just a yes or no question. Do you believe that? Do you believe God is in control of the present and the future? Next, do you believe God is good? Boy, that's a short question, isn't it? Do you believe God is good? Next, do you believe God is present and will never leave or forsake you? Do you believe that? Do you believe God is present and He will never leave you or forsake you? Next, do you believe God knows what will happen in your future? Do you believe that? Do you believe that even though you don't know what's out there in your future, do you believe God knows? Next question. Do you believe God faithfully meets the needs of His people? Is He capable of that in your mind? Do you believe God faithfully meets the needs of His people? Next, do you believe God can be trusted? Do you believe He can be trusted? Next, do you believe God is at work behind the scenes of your life? It's called providence. Do you believe God is at work behind the scenes of your life? And finally, do you believe God loves you? Do you believe that? That God loves you? Those are some theology questions. Now, here is the question that brings us to the series that we're in right now. What do you believe at midnight? The title of this series that we're doing right now is Discovering Our Theology at Midnight. When we're going through suffering, trials, difficulties, hardship, when we're experiencing affliction, trouble, when we're having a bad day, when we have sleepless nights, whenever anxiety shows up, once again, what do you believe about God then? What's your theology then? You see, I suggest it's one thing to answer yes to all nine of those questions, and most of you did. Okay, I don't have any magical skills. I just know most of you answered yes to every one of those questions. You believe those things about God, who He is, and what He's capable of. My question is, at midnight, when things are hard, when the anxiety comes, and it threatens to take over your mind, when you're going through hardship and trials and suffering, can you still say yes to those questions? It's at those times we discover what our theology really is. What we really believe about God. Who He is and what He's capable of doing. And that's the idea of this series. We're really thinking that through. So, I want to have us look at two scriptures that talk about anxiety. The first one we've already read, and you're probably still there. So we're going to take a little further look at Matthew chapter 6 concerning the subject of anxiety or worry. This is Jesus. Jesus is speaking. We're getting this right from Him. His words on the subject. Now, I want to point out three things in this passage that Jesus brings up. The first one, it's command. There is a command throughout this passage from Jesus. Let me point it out. Mark it. Verse 25, it says, "Do not worry about your life or about your body, what you'll eat or drink, what you'll wear." Do not worry. You could read it, "Do not be anxious." It means the same. It appears again, verse 31. So do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?" Second time that command appears. Do not worry. It appears a third time in verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. And so we have this command presented three times by Jesus. Do not worry about your basic needs. Do not worry about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about your basic needs. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Do you take what Jesus says there seriously? He says, do not worry. Do not be anxious. There are a lot of other do nots in Scripture. Do not lie, right? Do not steal. That's in here. Do not commit adultery. It's in here. Do not envy. Do not seek revenge. You've seen them, right? There are a lot of do not commands in Scripture. Do you take them seriously? Do you take this do not just as seriously? Somehow we take this do not and we kind of shove it off to the side. We don't pay as much attention to it as we do not lie, do not commit adultery. Do not. You see, we've accepted anxiety. We've accepted worry as who I am, the way I am. Everybody's anxious. Everybody worries. Do we say that about the other do-nots in Scripture? Jesus gives a command here, repeating it three times. Do not worry about your basic needs. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Something else that we see here are some questions. Jesus asks different questions here. And there are a couple that are really thoughtful questions that we need to spend some time on. One of them is in verse 25. He says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. And here's the question. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? That's a good question. We worry about these basic needs. And Jesus is saying, don't you realize there's something bigger, something even more important than what you put into your body, your food, your drink? Don't you realize there's something more important than what you wear, the clothes you put on? We spend so much time worrying about those basic needs, those superficial things. We spend so much time being anxious about them. And Jesus says, there's so much more to life that's more important. And you know what happens? When we worry about this stuff, when we're anxious about this superficial, basic need stuff, we miss the things that are really important. It's a good question to consider. Isn't life more important? Aren't there things in life more important than what you worry about? Than what you're anxious about? The second question he asked that's worth thinking about appears at the end of, well, it's verse 27, it's the whole verse, end of this paragraph. He says, who of you by worrying or being anxious can add a single hour to his life? That's a great question. That's a great question for the anxious person, the worrying person. Basically, the question is asking, does worrying help? Does your anxiety make it better? Can you add anything positive to the situation by worrying? Can you add anything good to what's going on with your anxiety? I mean, what would the answer be? Of course not. My worry has never added anything positive to a situation. My sleepless night and anxiety has never made something better. That's an important question that we need to think through concerning our anxiety and our worry. And then what Jesus does, he's given a command, repeated it three times, do not worry, do not be anxious. Then he asks these thought-provoking questions. Isn't life more important than what you're worrying about? Aren't there more important things? And can you really make it better with your anxiety and worry? Now, throughout, he adds theology. I love it. He adds theology. He puts into this passage truths about who God is, what God does, and what he's capable of. Let me point out some theology in what Jesus says. First of all, verse 32 talks about how the pagans who don't know God, they're worried and anxious about these things. And then he says, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He's kind of saying that same thing when he talks about the birds and he talks about the flowers. And he talks about how God takes care of those parts of creation. And then he ends each illustration by saying, don't you understand you are more valuable to God than those flowers? you are more valuable to God than those birds. He knows what you need. He'll take care of you. You belong to Him. Isn't that theology? God knows what you need. It's about His knowledge. And He cares about you. It's about His goodness. That's theology. It's a truth about God. A second theology he brings up, right at the end of verse 30. He says, O you of little faith. This is about faith. That's what this is about. It's about faith. Is God worthy of trust? Is God someone you can put your faith in? The opposite of anxiety is not peace. The opposite of anxiety is faith. Peace is the fruit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peace is the fruit of walking by faith. Faith is the opposite of anxiety. You see, we struggle with anxiety and worry, so we think we need peace. You can't just turn a switch and have peace. You can't. But you can choose to walk by faith and trust God. And a fruit of that will be peace. Hope you can follow that. Because when somebody is struggling with anxiety or worry, the worst thing you could say to them is calm down. Just be at peace. That is the worst thing you can say to somebody struggling with anxiety and worry. They can't turn that switch. But Jesus said, have faith. Trust. God is worthy. He's trustworthy. Have faith. And guess what comes? Peace. Another item of theology here. Verse 33. But seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek God. Seek God and the things of God, His kingdom. Seek that first. And it's amazing what that will do with your anxiety, with your worry, because it gets your mind off what you're anxious about, what you're worried about, when you're seeking God, pursuing His righteousness, pursuing godliness. So there's theology here that Jesus presents. There's theology involved in the whole anxiety, worry thing. God is trustworthy. God cares for you. God will take care of you. God knows your needs. He's got that knowledge. And you need to seek Him first. Pursue Him. And then he ends with, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. It hasn't come yet. What you're worried about may never happen. It often doesn't, right? What keeps you up at night never materializes, as real as it seemed in your mind. So do not worry. Do not be anxious. There was a guy running through the airport. He was just chugging along with his luggage, trying to make it to his gate. He was really worried about missing his flight, and so he's running down the concourse, and he comes to these tables, and sitting at a table right on the edge there by the concourse is this guy dressed in a pilot suit uniform, and he's drinking coffee. And this guy running down the concourse gets too close to this man's table and knocks his briefcase off the table onto the floor. So he stops and he picks it up for him. And the guy sitting there says, what's the hurry? Where are you going? And the guy goes into this long, dramatic, anxiety-filled thing about, you know, I got to go and catch this flight. I'm late. If I don't make this flight, this is going to happen. And he just goes on and on and on. And once he stops, the guy sitting there says, well, I tell you what, I'm the pilot of that plane. I'm piloting that flight today. Why don't you sit down with me and have some coffee? You see, when you're with the pilot, when you're with the one who's flying the plane, if he's chilling out, you can chill out, right? You're in good hands. Just stick with him. Stick with him. But you see, in our anxiety and our worry, we're running off all directions. You know? God's not anxious. God's not worried. He's got it all under control, right? Seek Him. Stick with Him. Trust Him. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Let's see what Paul says. I think he pretty much agrees with Jesus. That would be a good move on his part. This might be a good time to just draw your attention to the first quote down there in the bottom right-hand corner of your sheet. Two statements that seem to have all the same words in it, but the order is really important. The first statement says, I trust God, but it's really hard. The second statement says, it's really hard, but I trust God. Is there a difference between the two? You know what but does in a sentence, right? It counters and cancels out what came before it. Isn't that true? I mean, we've all had the experience where somebody says something really nice to you, and then they say, but, and it totally cancels out what they said that was nice, right? I mean, you've had that experience, right? But cancels out what came before. So notice what's happening in these statements. I trust God, but it's really hard. You just canceled out, I trust God, didn't you? And the focus is on it's really hard. The difference? It's really hard. That's reality. But I trust God. You just canceled out the it's really hard. And the focus is on I trust God. Makes a difference. Philippians chapter 4. You're familiar with this. Starting in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. You hear that? There is no profound intellectual way to change what that means. You can't play around with the language here and change what that means. It means what it says. Do not be anxious about anything. And then what do we say? But, no buts. Be anxious for nothing. Do not be anxious about anything. Then he gives the alternative. Here's the but. But in everything, pray. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Pray. Antidote to anxiety. Pray. Bring your requests to God and notice, with thanksgiving, with gratitude. Max Lucado says, gratitude and anxiety cannot exist in the same heart. Gratitude and anxiety cannot take up the same space at the same time. Try gratitude. Try thanksgiving. See what it does to your anxiety and your worry. Paul says, be anxious about nothing. Don't be anxious in anything, but instead pray. Bring your requests with an attitude of gratefulness, thanksgiving. And the promise is that if you do that, the peace of God, see, it's a fruit. The peace of God then will come. And it'll guard your heart and your mind, your feelings, your thoughts, which just go all over the place when you're anxious, when you're worried. So he says, pray, and the peace of God will guard you. Verse 8, ponder certain things. These are the things you should think about. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If you think about these things, if these are what's in your mind, they don't create anxiety. Read the list again. Those kinds of things do not create anxiety. They don't. They will combat anxiety. So ponder the right things. When you're laying there in bed, can't sleep, and anxiety, that monster, peeks out from under the bed, start pondering the right things. Start pondering the kinds of things Paul talks about. That old monster of anxiety will go back under the bed. Because these things do not feed anxiety. Ponder the right things. Think about the right things. Renew your mind. And then practice. Verse 9. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Take the things you've learned. Take the things you've received. Specifically, take your theology that you've learned and apply it at this midnight time. When anxiety wants to just take over, take the things you've learned, the things you say you believe about God, and practice them. In other words, I believe God is in control of my present and future. I'm going to practice that right now. Because I believe it. God is good. I believe it. I'm going to practice that right now. No matter what's coming tomorrow, God is good. God is present, will never leave me or forsake me. I believe that. I'm going to practice it now in this midnight situation when anxiety wants to overrule. God won't leave me. He won't forsake me. I believe it. God knows what will happen in your future. I believe that. And so I'm going to practice it. I'm not going to let anxiety say otherwise. God knows what's going to happen next week in that situation. I'm not going to be anxious about it because God already knows what's going to happen. He's already been there. Did you know that those things you worry about that are coming up in the future, that you spend sleepless nights over, you will never get there before God does. You will never arrive at that day. You will never arrive at that 3 o'clock meeting. You will never arrive at that place. You will never arrive at the airport for that trip before God does. He's been there. He knows what's going to happen. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? If so, practice it when anxiety comes. God faithfully meets the needs of His people. Practice that if you believe it. God can be trusted. Practice that when anxiety comes. God is at work behind the scenes of your life. He's already there working. Practice that belief, that theology. God loves you. Be anxious for nothing. He loves you. You've got it made. He loves you. Your worrying and your anxiety isn't going to change that. He loves you. Practice that theology. What you've learned and received, Paul says, practice it. And the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. The peace of God will guard you, and the God of peace will be with you. Isn't that wonderful? So, you may be here, and you're right in the midst of struggling with anxiety. And you've struggled with it for a long time, to the point where you refer to yourself as an anxious person. I'm just a worrywart, you know. Friend, why have you accepted that as part of your identity? Why have you accepted the idea that you're an anxious person? Where is that in your theology? God doesn't say, now that I've saved you, you are an anxious person. That's not part of your identity. But we just accept it. And if we accept that, we will never address it. We address it with theology. Who we believe God is, and what we believe He does and is capable of doing. And we practice that even at midnight. Even when we're going through these hard things, even when anxiety is trying to take control, I practice what I believe about God. My theology. I need it at midnight. And that's where we discover it. The great thing is that anxiety is a destructive monster that can be defeated. It can be defeated. Don't believe what they say. It can be defeated. Maybe not in the ways the world says it can be defeated, but it can be defeated. Anxiety is not greater than your God. Never has been, never will be. It's a monster that you created, that I created, and God can give us victory. Just get your theology right and practice it at midnight. Cast all your anxiety on Him, for He cares for you. Mary Crowley said, every night I give my worry over to the Lord. He's going to be up all night anyway. Let's pray. Father, this is tough. This is very difficult for us, especially if we've been in the throes of anxiety for so long, when it's become a part of us. Father, thank You for who You are. Thank You for what You do and what You're capable of doing. Father, I pray that You would really speak into the hearts of those here who are just battling anxiety. And Father, I pray that something that Jesus said in His Word, something that Paul said as You led him to write, would grab us and become a part of our thinking and our practice. And may we see You win the victory over anxiety in our lives. And may it free us. May it free us and bring the peace as a wonderful fruit of trusting in You. In Christ's name, amen.
Can you all stand and worship with us?